This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Appeal, because one of these teams is probably getting in and maybe getting a bye, which is ultimately what happened with Arizona State. So I thought this past conference championship weekend, you look at Clemson, right, beating SMU, they get into the playoff. I don't know. I just, with more auto bids on the line, and to your point, Blake, it's like, all right, yay, the three versus the six.
I think, you know, maybe the other part, see if you agree with this, Blake. The other problem is when you kind of sift through, it's like, okay, what are they actually trying to do? It feels like they're just trying to create more inventory to sell. And you're almost just like, okay, but like, what was wrong with the season you had? Like, I think for me, that's what it always just feels like they're just creating more things to sell to TV.
I think there's something to that, and this is something I've been thinking a lot about this week. You know, I keep hearing this word about how there's chaos in college football, which, by the way, like I don't think there's that much chaos. But yeah, guys transfer more often than
there's
most
less
people
control.
Like.
But does that necessarily mean there's chaos?
Yeah, this chaos thing is some idea planted by a propaganda artist that now just keeps being repeated and seeps into your brain. I don't think there's that much chaos, but the more I think about it, the more I think this little interregnum here that we've had between the old model that ended in 2021 and whatever is coming next, I actually think people will look back fondly on this era years down the road. Because I don't think what's coming around the corner, I am highly unconvinced, whether we talk about the playoff, whether we talk about athlete compensation structure, any of it. I think what's coming around the corner is going to be worse than what there is now. Fans have never had more power and more agency than they've had now when they run these collectives. The coaches and administrators hate that the fans and the donors have as much power as they do running these collectives. The fans and the donors truly dictate the payroll for a roster with their donations. And guess what? If they want the coach fired, they can snap their wallets shut and demand change. Fans have never had more power in college sports than they have now. That drives administrators and coaches nuts. It's not just athlete power that drives them nuts. The fact that they have to grovel to fans and donors as much as they do, they hate it. Fans have power. I think whatever is coming next is going to be worse for the fans. I think it's going to be probably not as good as it is for the athletes right now, because this is really the glory days to be a college athlete. The only thing I think it's going to be good for is the folks drawing paychecks off this format. But yeah, be careful what you wish for. Because,
well, to your point, though,
I don't want to be an alarmist again.
No, I
think what's coming around the corner is going to be worse. And I think we will look back on this period from 2021 to 2024, the so-called period with no guardrails. Oh, my gosh. I think we'll look back on this period pretty fondly for the most part.
I agree with you in terms of what's ahead. I think the only thing I'd push back on is I think fans at the micro level have never had more power at their school. I think the frustration is when you look at it big picture, it still feels like all that matters is whatever a TV network wants. And I think that's kind of where it's like, I really do wonder, it's like, who's pulling the strings here? Is this really just a Fox versus ESPN thing? Is this the schools? Is this the, there is no teacher, so everyone's just, I think that's kind of where fans feel a little powerless, is that they have no say in the actual, like, structure that they're watching. But I totally agree with you in terms of what's driving the coaches nuts is they're used to having all the power, and now that they're dependent on the people that have always paid their salaries and they have to answer to them, that drives them in nuts.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, you're right. The fans don't have the power to determine who's in what conference. Television determines that. Fans don't have the power to
playing?
Dictate the playoff format. Television and conference leaders determine that. That is true. But I do think in terms of your individual team, fans got a lot of voice, a lot of agency in that now. And I don't know if fans on the whole appreciate maybe what they have.
They got
a seat in the clown car. And I'm not so sure they aren't driving the clown car.
No, I'm with you. All right, Blake, have a great weekend.
Okay, thanks, guys.
That is Blake Topmeyer, again, national senior college football columnist for the USA Today Network. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's get into the list. Also, Eric Hastein going to join us. He had to miss yesterday. He's going to join us here during hour number two as well. Stick around, listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. There are lots of different types of moms, working moms, stay-at-home moms, stepmoms, grandmoms, pet moms. Doesn't matter what type of mom is in your life. They all want diamonds from Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can buy mom bigger, brighter diamonds right now over at Robert Irwin Jewelers as the Mother's Day sale is going on right now. Go check out the 2-carat lab-grown diamond stud earrings. You can also check out the Flexi diamond bangle bracelets. You can also check out a diamond paw necklace for the pet mom in your life. Also, the Diamond Essentials collection there starting at just $299. Robert Irwin Jewelers also has great financing options like 12 months at 0% interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay. Bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices. The Mother's Day sale going on right now at RI Jewelers, 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's get into the list. Jordan Hudson. All right, so I guess we got kind of a source off. So all of this begins with Pablo Torre, his video podcast for Meadowlark, whatever, Levitard's Network. And I've not watched the whole thing. I've gotten through about half of it, and it is entertaining. I will say that. But the juicy part that everyone seemed to run with was Pablo said that he is reporting based on conversations he's had with multiple sources that Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend, has been banned from all football facilities by someone or someones in the North Carolina Athletic Department. Now, we also get later today the University of North Carolina responding on what appeared to be a notes app. Could you check out the punctuation on that? There was like weird space bars, like everything. But they've said that's unequivocally not true. She's not an employee, but she's welcome at the facility. I got to be honest on this one. I'm betting Pablo's story is closer to right than wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. And it doesn't stop, man. Like, it does not stop. And I'm trying to think back to the Belichick years in New England. Like, we just didn't hear about
nonsense. What I've actually, to your point, what I've found interesting, there's obviously some players that just were anti-Belichick people and they're willing to fire off. But what I find fascinating is the guys that have largely been Belichick defenders, like the Edelmans of the world.
Edelman, Gronk, yeah.
Even Edelman has been like, what is going on here? Like, you were the king of no distractions, and all this is a distraction.
I mean, it's been a distraction for, I mean, when he was not a coach and the video came out of, you know, him looking like an old man who lost like something outside when he couldn't get inside her apartment or whatever it was like, that's kind of funny. Now, like, you see the spring video and she's out there on the field, and then you know, the whole CBS This Morning disaster where he's defending, you know, well, we just wanted to talk about the book. And they're like, you didn't give us any parameters. Like, and we, it, and I keep going back to this. It was CBS This Morning.
Yes, the ultimate puff piece.
Of course. All they want to do is talk to you and just be like, hey, you wrote a book. Cool. Hey, there's this girl over here who is very involved in this interview. If she doesn't show up at the interview, I'm convinced they don't ask about her. Maybe they say, hey, you know, what's the deal with your girlfriend? Like, yeah, we've been dating for a year. Okay, we move on. And also, I think she's in the book, right? I don't know. It's just...
Well, now there's
it
also
feels
like
we're in a bizarro world of like, what is going on with the greatest coach in football history? Question mark. I guess you could argue Saban, and you know, because of his success at Alabama, but the greatest NFL coach ever, or most successful, and this is happening, and they haven't even played a game. Like, how does this end? Do they go out? And do they win football games? I think you might have brought this up. And it's like, okay, it's Bill Belichick. What were we thinking?
Yes.
Or is it just going to be like a complete another clown like, show
or,
down there?
Or is it like, well, we should have known this was coming when we saw it. George, you said you had something to add.
So I don't know if you guys had seen this, and I just actually we talked about this not an hour or two ago with Jason and John, and they had not seen this. Did you see the update from Pablo himself?
I have not.
No, I have not.
So he came back. And this is in a response to the clip from the show about this. P.S. UNC can now choose to describe or change its position on Jordan Hudson's involvement however it wishes following the publication of our episode. We requested comment and filed dozens of FOIA requests that were not satisfied. And we stand by the specific reporting in our episode, which came from the highest levels of the football program.
I don't know anyone that maybe if you're like a Carolina fan, and you're trying to ignore what's happened in the last like month, maybe. But I don't think anyone bought it, because the other thing I was thinking of, for a lot of times, she has been releasing stuff officially from the North Carolina account. That could have easily just been her saying this is not true.
I always think about when you have situations like this unfold, not the specific one, or something involving the head coach, I always think about like the folks underneath of them. Like his sons, multiple, have linked up to his staff. And look, am I saying that Steve Belichick?
Well, no. Also, in part of the discussion, Pablo has mentioned that the family is extremely concerned, and they're digging into her.
Yeah.
Well, Steve Belichick's wife, after the CBS clip went viral, she fired up social media. Is like, how is this helping?
Oh, I did not see that.
Oh yeah, because like,
also like I can't speak to this. I know this is like, I just watched the did you watch the Netflix show Four Seasons with just came out with Steve Carell?
I've not seen it.
All right. Similar situation, you know, to an extent, right? Guy in his 60s, divorces his wife, meets young girl.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not uncommon.
Particularly rich old guys, yes.
Right. But, like, I can't imagine Steve Belichick, and, like, he made the decision to go work for his dad. He could have stayed, I imagine, at Washington. I thought he did a pretty good job as their
DC. Yeah, I agree.
A year ago. But, yeah, he's got to be like, Dad, what the hell are you doing? Like, look, my dad's the same age as Bill Belichick. He's still with my mom, but like, he says some stuff. I'm like, whoa, all right, hey, relax there, big fella. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. I just don't know how this ends.
So their schedule is pretty favorable.
They open against TCU, prime spot there on a Monday night. But like, I've kind of like just dipped my toe in on my preseason work here, and it's more of kind of the bigger guys, the Clemsons, the Penn States, etc., whatever. Like, are they any good? Like, they lost a lot in the portal.
Yeah, I mean, they also got a lot in the portal. I think they were somewhere around like 30th, which in the ACC, because like, this is it, I think it's at home against TCU. They'll be favored.
They are favored.
Okay.
Certainly, yes.
They're going to be favored against Charlotte. They're going to be favored against Richmond. They have to go to UCF, who's also got a new coach.
Can I say something crazy?
Who do you
trust more, Scott Frost or Bill Belichick?
I don't know because Scott Frost
is pretty good at UCF.
I know, but I was always in the camp of that UCF job was a different job.
True.
But I mean, at best, that's a coin flip, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Going to the bounce house.
All right, there'll be a multi-touchdown underdog against Clemson, although it is at home, but they're still, what, probably two-score, 14-point line, something along those lines. They have to go to Cal. Did you see that? Cal, I think...
Cal's weird, because they lost a lot of pieces. They lost Jaden Knott.
Their top nine leading rushers. I did not know teams could have nine leading rushers are all gone.
Yeah, that... I'm a big Justin Wilcox guy.
But they've got the weird power struggle. The boosters want... your boy Ron Rivera running the show, and Wilcox obviously doesn't.
There's also some interesting hires on that staff. Brian Harsin's, what, their OC now?
Yeah, and Auburn fans have taken a lot of delight in that because Harsin's already squabbling with his players.
Brought in Nick Rolovich. Nothing says Berkeley, California.
Yeah, like Nick
Rolovich. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that one unfolds. Kind of feel like this might be the last run for old Coach Wilcox out there in Berkeley.
So then they get Virginia at home. They have to go to Syracuse, Stanford at home, Wake at Wake, Duke at home, and they close with NC State. I mean, that's the thing. They don't have to be all that good to be 9-3.
No, they don't. You could see them lose to TCU, who's got 100%. A veteran quarterback coming back. You could see them lose to UCF on the road. Clemson, you could almost chalk that up as an L. I think Virginia's going to be more of a toss-up than you expect. At Syracuse will be a toss-up. Stanford and Wake will be easy, should be, in theory, easy wins. And then, you know, Duke's actually spending money, right? They went out and got Mensa from Tulane. You know, they were much better last year than I expected. I had a heavy bet on them under their win total that went over. And then NC State, you know, Doran's got a decent program there. So yeah, you could see it go 6-6. You could see it go 9-3. You could, you know, it doesn't stop, which is just wild because like when the initial hire happened, I was like, wow, this is quite the coup for North Carolina and their football program. And now it's like, whoa, okay. Do you really want them anymore?
I mean, the reality is North Carolina football has never been more interesting.
That's true.
Now, you can argue it's not for the reasons they would want, but I mean, I guarantee you we're all tuning in on Monday night, Labor Day night.
ESPN's thrilled about it. UNC TCU to open up. I mean, their Labor Day weekend lineup, without it officially being said, is essentially going to be LSU Clemson Saturday night at Clemson, Notre Dame at Miami, and then Belichick's debut on Monday. Okay.
I think the other thing about this that you realize is it's like turning over Bill Belichick Enterprises. Say what you want about her as a female. Like, I'm setting that aside. She had no qualifications whatsoever to be running PR for Bill Belichick. None. And it's so obvious that, you know, they didn't understand how all this works because, as George read from Pablo, like, they were just sending out emails with highly sensitive information, having no clue that that was subject to freedom of information. And Belichick maybe has just been in the NFL so long where you're allowed to just kind of operate in the shadows that, like, you don't understand that your dirty laundry can get aired out. So, like, where I am willing to say maybe we are making this too big of a deal is their mess has gotten public, but maybe this is stuff that would have just happened anyway. It's just now it's getting even more public. And then, the CBS thing was a disaster. But now, that's the reason why I also think Pablo's report is right. I think there are now... It has been such a disaster that you have opened the door for where Belichick has been able to say, I'm in complete control here. North Carolina is going to say, absolutely not.
How many years does this last? I had someone, so I do this radio show in Milwaukee, and the one host was like, he's not even going to coach a game. I'm like, he's going to coach a game.
He's going to owe too much money.
I could see it lasting only a season, though.
I would like to know what is the actual arrangement with Steven.
Yeah, is this, I guess, I don't know, we're getting too, I feel like we're getting too deep in the woods, weeds here, but like, if he is to really want this job to ultimately be his son's to take over, probably wouldn't be doing this crap.
Or is it the classic old guy, hot young girlfriend, she's running the show, and he just doesn't care? But at the same time,
or last one, is this a, this happened in North Carolina before. Dean Smith retired, what, like in September, and was like, what else are you going to do? You got to give it to Guthridge. Like, is he going to middle of the season be like, I'm good. Give it to Steve. I don't know, man. But like, but also, Steve's was a ascending defensive mind. Like, ultimately, he probably would have got a shot at some point, maybe not at a North Carolina.
I think that's the key. He maybe gets a shot somewhere, but it's not. This
it's
is
not his, UNC. Yeah,
I don't know. Like, to me, it's like the maybe we get to September and like winning cures all, and whatever. This was just distraction during a slow part of the calendar. But it does also feel like we could get to like week six and be like, oh my God, what is going on here? And that's the problem. If that's the case, are they really just going to give it to Steve? Like, if you're North Carolina and this doesn't go well, aren't you just saying, our bad? We tried something. It didn't work. Our bad. You're not going to just go to Steven.
No. Yeah, you're gonna fire everybody.
Right.
You're going to start over. It's a pretty highly sought-after job.
The commish. Did you see the rumored favorite landing spot for the Brazil game?
I did.
We're getting some YouTube, everybody. Thanks be to the commission. She's going to give it to us for free. I also think this is just a device of they're going to just try to drive more tickets, more subscriptions to Sunday Ticket.
So it's just on YouTube?
So not YouTube TV.
Just YouTube.
Correct.
Okay.
And now, that's the reason why I think this is probably going to be, I would imagine you're getting bombarded with Sunday Ticket ads, because Sunday Ticket is on YouTube TV. I beg your pardon, on YouTube, not YouTube TV. You can obviously have access to both, but it's just the app.
I don't know. I'm at the point where I'm not going to get hot and bothered by games.
I will say this. I was glad to hear for the first time in like, I don't know, it feels like 2 years, we are finding out that a game is going to be, we don't have to pay for a new subscription service. That was nice.
Yeah, if it's free, man, sweet. It was always kind of like, I don't know. I'm sure we talked about it, but it was like, Netflix. I'm like, you don't have Netflix? That seems to be a you problem. Like, of all the streaming services, I'm assuming you probably have Netflix. And it's like,
Prime. The other thing, though, is it is clear. It is really annoying when they just start putting, this is yet again, they're going to put a game on an app and you won't be able to change the channel.
That, yeah. I mean, once again, but it's an island deal. Like, the Christmas Day games on Netflix, I get it. You have NBA on, but, like, just throw Netflix on. You're fine, right? I always felt like the games that annoy me the most, and we've talked about this, are the Peacock exclusive college football games. Like, I'm not going to have that game on unless it's
I have
Notre Dame. Or, yeah, that too. If it's Notre Dame, okay, yeah, I'm going to watch it. And I think that's why they do it. But the middle-of-the-day Peacock game never made sense to me. Amazon Prime on Thursday, that made sense, right?
Yes.
It's not going to work if you do a 1 o'clock Eastern random game, on Prime.
Unless you're trying to get outside of the congressional, the SBA Act, which only applies to linear television.
Well, that's why they changed the Europe game to the early kick, because remember, and I think it was your Giants, Like the first couple of years of the Europe game, they just put it on in the 1 o'clock Eastern window.
Yes.
So it had nothing special about it. It was like, oh yeah, this game's in Europe.
Yeah.
And now they do it early, which I actually really like because it's just more football.
Yeah, but then it's, I was fine with it with like when it was a one-off, but now when it's just like you get to October and you just, it's, and you and I have been up till 2 a.m. watching college football and it's like, I gotta get up and do it the next day. It's like, I don't think people understand what a grind that is.
It's grind, man. We got to grind through it.
Let's take a quick break. Eric Hassan joins the program next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Might have a scheduling conflict. Eric, we're trying to get Eric on the line. He's up in Indianapolis. He's going to games 3 and games 4 up in Indy. He also played golf earlier today, so if he played well, maybe he had an E9 and he totally forgot. But if Eric calls in, we'll talk to him. But if not, I wanted to, we'll get into the games tonight, but there were two important football stories that we have to discuss real quick. Number one, Jackson Dart was asked if his heart is set on wearing number 6. Quote, I kind of have to look at the pictures to see if I like myself in 6. Uncommitted. But first off, Tim, just tremendous attention to detail as a quarterback here. The little things matter. You have to know whether or not it looks good as a quarterback number, because the truth is, these things do matter. I get it. Johnny Unitas wore 19. Any quarterback that comes out in 19, I immediately have no respect for. I just assume they can't play.
Yeah, I'm not a big 6 as a quarterback guy.
Okay, but there's a couple of problems. Number one, Baker looks good in it. And then number two, Friday Night Lights, Street. You know, Riggins called him 6.
I'm just used to 6 being a middle linebacker that's going to rip your face off, or a nice, powerful running back.
If I may interject, though, most of my quarterbacks I only trust if they played baseball. 6 is usually a shortstop.
True, 6 is a solid baseball number.
You're going to be able to throw from multi-platforms.
I don't know how you were, but like, well, I wore 18 in baseball, which is just kind of a random number. But like, I don't know, baseball is fine. Oh,
I was able to get 3 in both football and baseball, so that was huge. When you get to have the same
real
number,
deal.
That music means we welcome to the program Eric Hasseltine, of course, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He's up in Indianapolis. He's going to games 3 and game 4. Eric, I guess the first thing I want to ask you. Do you have an explanation for why 20-point leads don't feel safe in the NBA anymore?
3-point shots.
We were talking about this yesterday.
3-pointer from Gainbridge Fieldhouse right now.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday. The thing that seems that I can't figure out, have we seen a playoff game where teams go back and forth, like both teams are making threes at the same time? It feels like with the Boston games, either Boston hits their threes and New York's making nothing, or then Boston goes ice cold, and then New York makes it. I don't feel like we've seen anyone just go like shot for shot with each other. It feels like when one team's on, the other team's off.
Goes in waves. It always goes in waves. That's why I like literally have over the years had to tone down the frustratedness of we're down 16. Because, you know, if you have a five possession stretch where your opponent only scores once and you score five times, good chance you're right back in the ball game. Also good chance three out of those five times it's a three. So you're talking about 13 points. A 13-2 run is not uncommon. Back in the, you know, Zach, Mark, Mike days, core four, Tony, it was a 10-0 run. And you're like, oh, you're done. It's over. Like, you can't score 10 points on us. It's just not the way the game's played anymore. And watching that game two of this series that I'm about to go partake in, which thankfully I have people that take really good care of us. You watch and you're like, oh no, like this is not over. Like at one point I'm listening to Jason and John talking about fade Brad and 7 points. Good. All right, cool. Except you don't box out on a free throw and a dunk happens and then you miss a free throw and you get a rebound and you're like, oh, these are the things that kill you, which we saw all year long with the Grizzlies. And then it's just Tyrese Halliburton steps back, takes a three, and you're like, yeah, that's going to go. Because that's the way the game works for whatever reason. Talk about basketball gods, talk about karma, talk about whatever you want. A guy takes a gutsy shot at a time, and he's a star-type player. It goes in. That's why they're star-type players. But the game has evolved. The game has changed. And now you got Boston shooting 63s. They lose a game. And they make what did they make in the first one? 15
they were 15. They were 15 of 60, and then they were 10 of 40. Yeah. So they're tight, right. 25 of 100%.
So they 100% just keep firing, and they're like, we're going to eventually make it. And you're like, maybe not tonight, maybe not tomorrow night. The Knicks win game two was even more surprising than the Pacers win game two to me, because I'm like, okay. The Celtics went 18 of 20 inside the three-point line in the first half of game one. You're up by 16, and you come out and 20 shots are taken, 19 of them are threes. It's like, okay, at some point, like, do something else. But they're not going to go away from what they are. Whatever, you can absolutely criticize Joe Mazzulla, whatever it may be. You can criticize Kenny Atkinson for the Cavaliers. You can praise, you know, Rick Carlisle, you can praise Tom Thibodeau. It's just the game. And these guys are so good that if you catch your run and they catch it, you're going to catch it at the wrong or right time. In all honesty, Celtics and Cavs have caught their runs at the wrong time. They were up big in games. Also, the Cavs had injuries. Celtics, not as much, but Porzingis isn't right.
Yeah.
But if you just hang in and don't let go of the rope, which is why, as you heard sometimes during the season, I'm like, don't let go of the rope. Don't let go of the rope. Don't get your head down. Don't walk off with bad body language. It's still like 8 minutes on the clock. And when I started 8 minutes on the clock and they were down 10, we're like, let's pack it up, warm up the bus. We're going home. It's over. It's done. No question. I've had to retrain myself as an announcer to go, it's not over yet. And I remember, I forgot the game this year where I said, hey, I know it looks bleak, but there's a lot of time left on the clock. Let's keep the bright outlook. And I think the Grizzlies came back and won. I was like, all right, good. I look like a genius. It's not anything that has to do with me. It's just the way the game is played. It's played fast. It's played with more pace. And teams don't just go, I'm going to hold the ball for 20 seconds and then throw it into our big, and he's going to take a drop step and take a hook shot. Patrick Ewing and Hakeem Olajuwon ain't walking through the door. You're going to play fast. That's how the game's designed. And that's why tonight, you know, like you watch this game that's going to tip off. I fully expect the Cavaliers healthy to come out and race up and down the floor because they were one of the top pace teams right behind the Grizzlies. And when they start getting shots to fall, they may blow the Pacers out by 40 tonight. At the end, it's still 2-1 Pacers. Who cares? Move on.
Why do you think we're seeing home court matter less than ever in the playoffs?
I'll give you the same answer, the three-point shot.
Well, what I was trying to also...
You know what the three doesn't care about?
Home or away.
Who's cheering? You're just shooting. You're just chucking. You're not thinking. You're not holding the ball trying to run a play. You are catch, go, make, miss, whatever, move on.
Well, that's I think it. Maybe I mean, also
to me, it's all the same.
I think you'd also make the point when everyone does the whole, oh, the officials, it's rigged, whatnot. It's like the one thing that I'll always buy into. We've seen statistical proof that officials can be influenced by home crowds. Like sure. there's been numbers, but maybe you're right sure. because people aren't going in the lane and trying to get contact and get calls as much. Like it's right. that's no longer an advantage.
So I'll tell you this. I don't want to name the official, but he's a top-tier official in the league right now. Ran into him somewhere. We had a long conversation. You do build a reputation. When he looks at you and goes, hey, can you tell Dylan Brooks, like, 3 minutes into the game, he doesn't need to be calling us, like, names type thing? And I'm like, yeah, I can. In fact, I say it on the broadcast.
Right after you tee up Draymond for the second time. Yeah.
You know that's who he is. And I said, so can you tell Draymond not to address you guys as the same name? And he goes, fair point. And I go, but you guys understand that that's who Draymond is. Yes. So you understand Draymond's going to play physical. He's going to do this. Whereas to a common fan, the reason you guys, I told him, I said, if we're speaking honestly, you guys take criticism because Draymond gets away with that. But he gets away with it because you know who he is. And as bad as he is, like Rasheed Wallace was worse. Rasheed got the, I look at you technical. Because people are like, yeah, you're not going to talk to me like that. I know what you're doing. Draymond will literally, and I credit him for this, and I know it's going to sound crazy to our fans. He is maybe the best manipulator of the officials I've ever seen. Because at first he will go up to them and he'll start the conversation with like, you can't call that, you can't do this. And he's animated. The F-bombs don't come until after like a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds or a couple of sentences, whatever you want to say. And then the next time he's like, hey, blankety blank, that's, you missed that one. And you've already been called that. So you're like, all right, whatever. That's who he thinks my name is. Nikola Jokic got thrown out of the game. The excuse was, he addressed a referee with profanity. I'm like, Draymond calls you those names. He thinks that's your name. So you can't use that excuse. But as I've always said, and you've heard this, Jeffrey, and we've talked about it, I always tell a team, pack, foul, play physical, be aggressive, do all the things. Apparently somebody's after Draymond, by the way, right now. Do all those things till they tell you to stop. And the great teams, I'm not talking good, I'm talking great championship teams. Teams that win titles. You watch the way they work the officials. They go to a point until they tell them to stop. And that, to me, is also on the officials. Hey, if you don't want them to talk to you like that, say the next time you address me as that, I will throw a technical. And if you do it again, I don't care if I throw you out of the game. I'm throwing you out. And if he says, hey, blankety blank, you don't throw me out, I'm so-and-so, be like, watch, here you go. Establish authority. And that's, people get mad at Tony Brothers. What does Tony Brothers do? Establish authority. There's no hidden agenda. David Stern once said, like people said, hey, you got to address this. Like everybody thinks the games are rigged. You want Boston, LA? He goes, if I had the ultimate final series, you know what it would be? And the reporter goes, what? And he goes, Lakers, Lakers.
Yeah.
Can I make that happen? And the guy goes, no. And he goes, so why would we manipulate it? You don't think we want a team that's not in the biggest market, like in the spotlight, so we can promote that and make them better? That's crazy. However, yeah, you're right. We'll get more ratings if it's Lakers Celtics. That's a fact. I'm not going to deny that. However, people are still going to watch the finals. And when they see a team up and coming, like in Oklahoma City, even like a Cleveland, which, by the way, is not that small a market, nor is Boston, nor is New York, obviously, nor is Indiana. They're smaller markets. They're still in the top 30. Memphis is the smallest market. Obviously, nobody wants them to win. Really? Because that's why they put Ja Morant on every possible video until the things happen. They're not out to get you. It's the whole, oh, they don't love us. I dealt with it in Sacramento. It's not true. It's not true. It's just not.
All right, my man. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend.
Hey, I didn't hit him great today, but I hit him.
That's all you got to do. You got to get back out.
You got to come up with me and play this place.
you keep telling me the place is
Holiday
pristine.
Holiday Farms. Look up Holiday Farms, Zionsville, Indiana, and text me and tell me I'm right.
All right. Tell my wife.
Later. I will.
Okay. That is Eric Hasseltine. He's up in Indianapolis going to games three, games four.
I love Indy, man. It's a great city. My sister's lived there for like 25 years. It's an underrated city, man. It really
is. It's also a good place. Like, they're downtown. Like, I like cities where everything's kind of there, like in the same spot.
The downtown's not, it's built for a convention.
Yeah.
Right? So everyone was like, oh, the Super Bowl is going to suck there. I'm like, they've been putting on events forever. And then what happened? The Super Bowl went there. Now they got really good weather that week, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
But everything's walkable. It's all in tunnels. It's pretty easy. And then where my sister lives is technically in the city limits, but it's right by Butler. And it's awesome. Like, I went when I drove my dog across the country last year, stopped in Indy both times and got there, walked to a restaurant, walked to a bar. Like, it's a cool town, man. Super, I would say, underrated city for sure.
Are we taking anything?
I don't know what to do anymore, man. I'll just say this. I'm gonna go down with it. I bet the Celtics again to win the series. I just until the Knicks win and make their way to the Eastern Conference Finals, I'm not gonna believe it. So I bet the Celtics. I think I got -105. You could have got plus money after the game. I just think they're going to win. I just think they're going to win the series. I don't know what to do with the game tonight. So Cleveland's now a 5-point favorite.
Did that open as a pick? Is that right?
Yeah, it did, because we didn't know about Garland. We didn't know about Hunter. We didn't know about Mobley. And
I guess to a certain degree, Donovan.
Right, and Donovan was a little bit banged up. And now, are they all playing?
I guess. I mean, like, at this point, it has to be like, if they can go, they have to go.
So my question is, yeah, so Mobley, Garland, and Hunter are all at were all at shoot-around earlier today, and I think they're all expected to play. I get that. Like, I was on Cleveland when they had everyone out, and obviously that did not go well.
It looked good for 47 minutes.
47 minutes and 15 seconds. I would have to be Indiana or pass here. Like, maybe this is like a good spot to bet Indiana in game. Like, Cleveland comes out with just a rush of energy and they're up, and then you just assume Indiana's going to chip away like they have. I'm just so lost with these playoffs, man. I'm mad at myself so much because I keep betting on these damn favorites and they got to win this game, right? And then we keep seeing these dogs, you know, coming home.
We did get the last two. It was nice to finally have a couple of SpongeBob SquarePants. Oklahoma City and although
I had Oklahoma City first half last night, so that was nice to be like, all right, whew, we got a winner, we're good.
Well, also though, Minnesota, I was convinced.
Oh, Minnesota first half, not Oklahoma City first half.
I was convinced that Minnesota was going to let go of the rope. That thing got down to like seven, and it's like, oh, God, they can't score. Ugh.
I might just, like, based off of overreaction, I might just have to take a little bit of the Stars tonight. This game opened -105.
Yeah.
And now the Stars are +130 based solely off of, well, Winnipeg has to win this game. Yeah, well, Vegas had to win last night, too, and they didn't.
Also, Jake Ottinger, the goalie for the Dallas Mavericks, or Stars, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
This has been going around, I guess, today at whatever the morning skate. I'm always just in my own thoughts during games. One voice is telling me to peel off my skin. The other voice is telling me to peel off my skin. You know, the usual stuff. I guess that's the right goalie mentality. Like,
God, goalies, I love goalies.
Goalies truly do seem to be like a special breed.
Did you like Winnipeg Channing U.S. backup to him? That was pretty good.
Yeah, as if the U.S. starter has been great for them.
All right, let's take a quick break when we come back.
Oh, Mikko Rantanen is going to score another hat trick. So you just
That guy's just been a machine. Let's take a quick break. We'll tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. On the Out of the Mud podcast, Monte Ellis, when he was asked about being traded from the Warriors, quote, "It's similar to what happened to Luka." Yeah. Yeah, Monte getting traded from the Warriors. Very, very similar to what happened to Luka. Yeah, I remember the Warriors fan base.
He's a top five player in the world, right?
Yeah, no, totally. I like Monte Ellis, but it's just like... Really? The fan base rioted? Everyone was demanding refunds? All right, my man. So we're doing stars tonight?
It's gone too far. It's a numbers play.
We got to respect the math.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, my man. Have a good weekend.
All right, see ya.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, he'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.